Vincent van Gogh earned almost nothing from his work while alive, sliced off a piece of his ear during an epileptic seizure, and finally placed a rifle to his chest and killed himself in 1890 at the age of 37. Van Gogh's paintings have done well since. His still life of a vase of sunflowers sold for $40 million a century after Van Gogh's suicide. On this 150th anniversary of Van Gogh's birth, museums from Amsterdam to Toledo are celebrating his work. One show stands apart in a Dutch town where the painter never lived and never painted, but which, as Frank Browning reports, may hold the key to the mystery of Van Gogh's still-missing early work.
Historian Kees Wouter started his detective work at this angular intersection on the edge of Breda in southern Holland.
You see there are two corners. The house there, the white house on the corner, that is the house where the mother of Vincent van Gogh lived when she came here in 1886.
Came to Breda with one, possibly several, large trunks of Vincent's early drawings and paintings. By 1886, Van Gogh was living in France, but in his letters he occasionally mentioned the trunks. For his widowed mother, the trunks were an aggravation full of rubbish. When she moved a second time, she left a trunk in the house of her mover, who a decade later sold it to a peddler for one guilder.
And his oldest son lived on this corner here, and he had a shop, a bicycle shop. There are still some bicycles, you can see them there. Yeah. And in the 1950s, so it's about 50 years ago, there were some early Van Goghs found in this corner, which were left from the first time that Mother van Gogh moved her stuff.
Over the last century, the search for the missing Van Goghs has unleashed periodic bubbles of greed and excitement as collectors have brought their mostly fake claims forward. Van Gogh Lost and Found, the show at the Breda Town Museum, tracks that record, framing it as an historical detective story, says curator Ron Durvin.
This story developed itself into a sort of legend. So 2 years ago, we decided to do a serious research into this history. And it was more like the work of an investigator than of an art historian.
Art specialists used everything from radio spectrography to brush technique in authenticating paintings. But the question of provenance, where the work came from, how it ended up in a collector's hands, is equally important. Which is why historian Kees Wouter concentrated on finding out what happened after the Breda peddler hauled all those Van Goghs to his cellar.
And they had a cartload full of them, and then in the subsequent month, he put them on his push cart, you know, and went through the city to sell them. Here on the right, there were two pubs, you know, he tried to sell them in those two pubs. He tried to sell them here, in front of in the Ginneke Street, and on the marketplace as well.
That was 1902, a dozen years after Van Gogh's death, and already the penniless painter's French works were gaining value. One clever Dutch military officer and businessman, realizing the opportunity, sent local soldiers out to repurchase the works, and then began selling them in the Rotterdam art market. But there were other trunks of work, some of which seemed to have passed down through Mother Van Gogh's landlord's family. Most of those seemed to have disappeared. Then, 2 years ago, a young man named Werner Franje went to the local newspaper to talk to arts editor Hans Rosebaum.
We more or less started the whole thing because of this Mr. Werner Franje. And he is also convinced that he has Vincent van Gogh. And he is not the only one. A lot of experts say it's Van Gogh. Only the Van Gogh Museum doesn't. I wrote a story about it, reopening more or less the old case of Van Gogh and Breda.
I said, well, let's make a deal.
Werner Franje went to his father-in-law, who owned the painting.
I said, I'll get half. What you're going to get for the painting when it will be authenticated. I said, okay. So then I started.
We were driving to meet his father-in-law, who had the still life hanging in his apartment, waiting. Van Gogh experts had twice rejected the painting as an authentic Van Gogh, but Franje was not to be deterred. The painting depicts a plaster cast head, a simple candlestick, and a blue cloth. Franje scoured internet sites on Van Gogh to find something vaguely similar. Nothing showed up. Then he picked up the main catalogue of the Van Gogh Museum, where the first color plate was of a famous Hague still life called Cabbages and Clogs.
So at least 10 times looking at the painting in the Van Gogh Museum. But you see very prominently a blue cloth. And the painting with the cabbage and clogs is also a blue cloth.
He pulls out a reproduction of Cabbages and Clogs.
As you can see, this is a blue cloth, and this is a blue cloth.
Then he flips to a Van Gogh watercolor of a young woman wearing a blue skirt.
But the color and the size could very well be this skirt. Don't you think so?
Alas, most Van Gogh specialists don't think so. But Werner Franje presses on, citing references in Van Gogh's letters, desperately looking for evidence that here on his father-in-law's wall hangs $1 million or more, half of which could be his, if only the experts could see it.
You have experts and experts, and the thing is, who can authorize a picture?
Editor Hans Rosebaum, whose newspaper stories provoked the Breda show, points out that there's more at stake than verifying the legitimacy of a painting or two.
The Van Gogh Museum says, okay, we can research a painting and say yes or no, but other museums can do the same. They have the right to do that. But it's the art world, you know, the auctions, the that world. They really want the Van Gogh Museum to say it is real. It has to be the stamp of authority by the Van Gogh Museum, because there, they think, is all the expertise. On the other hand, if this museum here in Breda, in the Van Gogh town, if they examine a painting and they say we have 5 or 6 definite arguments to authorize it, so why shouldn't we authorize it? And so they did. They picked one of the 40 and they say, we are sure and we can prove this one is a real Van Gogh.
It's a very small painting on canvas.
Ron Durvin, curator of the Breda Town Museum.
This is an image painted in the serenity of the Hague, of some houses and farms and some sand and hay on the foreground.
Technique, the signature, the size and nature of the canvas all indicate Van Gogh. But maybe most important is an X-ray that shows an earlier painting underneath.
It shows a woman from the Dutch village called Scheveningen. And it's a woman with a Scheveningen cap who is knitting.
An image which Van Gogh painted often at that period. So far, the Van Gogh Museum in Amsterdam has said nothing about the painting. Its experts will take a look in February after the show closes. But Chris Stolwijk, chief of research at the Van Gogh, says it's the mystery itself that has boosted Van Gogh's prices into the stratosphere.
It's not only the selling and then there's the mystery, but it's also the mystery that sells the pictures, more or less. So there's also this component in the marketing of Van Gogh. There's the myth of Van Gogh as this hardworking, lonely wolf, which, of course, let us say, a kind of marketing principle too, which can be used by marketeers to sell the work. But it's indeed a strange story that only a few years after his suicide, that his works already were sold for quite rising prices.
Rising prices, more than anything, promise to keep the ongoing mysteries of the missing Van Goghs alive for years to come. For NPR News, I'm Frank Browning.
This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Leanne Hansen.
Weekend Edition Sunday is a production of NPR News, which is solely responsible for its content. To learn more about the music we play between stories, check the list of songs and artists at npr.org. Click the Music button at the top of the page. This is NPR.